Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian Shoeless Wiley. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, and I really love the fact that every week you do a little slightly different interpretive dance while the intro is playing. You know, I think you actually, you kind of lip-synced the whole thing. You were saying it as Ledge said it, but, you know. Yeah, I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing really well. I'm happy to be here. I managed to somehow navigate the Pasco County gauntlet of prostitutes to get here. I tell you what, man, Pasco fucking County, God bless you.
Oh, I love Pasco.
Okay, now having streetwalkers here and there is not a unique thing, and being an anarchist, you know, hey, I think the sex trade is a noble profession,
as legitimate as anything else.
Whatever, yeah, right. Same thing as selling oranges on the street, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different than selling oranges, but go ahead.
Well, a little less hygienic in Pasco County, that's for damn sure. But Pasco County hookers are a different breed. They don't stick to the sidewalks. They don't stick to the shoulders. They don't stick to the intersections. They're now standing in the medians on the way here.
On US 19.
On US 19.
On a six-lane interstate road.
On a six-lane interstate at rush hour on a Friday, waving down traffic.
Trying to make a buck.
The first one, she was, you know, being a Pasco County hooker, she was, you know, a little on the chunky side, more cushion for the pushing.
Muffin top
going on. Of course, wearing Daisy Duke cut off shorts.
Shouldn't be.
Right. And like a halter top going on. But the kicker was she was wearing like this unicorn horn on her head, waving you down like. I don't know
what unicorn horn on the head.
I don't know if that was some type of sex toy or, you know, is that some pegging thing? I don't know. You know,
you think you might have passed you. You think that whatever that was, you're too old to even know that now.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. Whatever's going on there, I had a hunch it was somehow related to the trade, but I didn't know exactly how. And I'm quite sure I didn't want to know exactly how. That would be related to the trade. Now, a little further down the road, there was another slightly more upscale prostitute. Her tattoos were more professional, at least.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, and she was a little older. I would say she was probably late 60s, so slightly older than the average, maybe about the same age as the average Pasco County
resident.
Prostitute. Yeah, but she was actually wearing a long black, I wanted to say cocktail dress, but it was more like a house coat. So, you know, hats off to the Pasco County hookers. You're a breed of your own.
Where you saw those people at was 2 miles away from where when I first came to Florida that I started living.
That somehow that just correlates perfectly.
It just does. Yeah. Loved Newport Richie, my kind. This is what I always said about Pasco County. Pasco County is my kind of trash.
Yeah. Yeah,
like for all of its shortcomings, I always loved Pasco County.
You know, yeah, I gotta agree with that because it's like, it's so trashy, but I don't know. There's something just a little. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Pasco County.
Oh yeah, no, I love Pasco.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I love Pasco. I love Pasco. I live in Hernando now, but eventually, I think I will be moved back in Pasco County.
Yo, you think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be. It may be 5 or 10 years from now or something like that, but I think eventually we'll be back in Pasco County in one shape. It may be the north side of Pasco, because like here's the thing, and I think this happens in a lot of counties, but I want to give you this example of what Pasco County is. There's a part of Pasco County that Pasco and Hernando argue over who actually owns it, and not because they both want to own it, but because neither one does.
So they've got like their own Kashmir region that they've been fighting over for 100 years.
No, but they're not fighting over it though. That's the thing. Neither one of them wants it.
Oh,
so like it's like a no-go zone.
You take it. Well, I don't want it. You take it.
Like if you call for the police,
right?
The 911 dispatcher will argue with you of, well, you're calling the wrong county for that.
Oh. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing.
Hang on a second. We need to annex it and make it its own anarchic kingdom.
Yeah, but then the people there might want something, though.
Oh, fuck them. Like, we're just throwing them out.
Leave it like it is.
We annexed.
Well, no, here's the thing. There's no rules, but you could just move into that area. Now, the bad part about that is that nobody's dealing with the roads, but you can deal with the roads yourself if you want.
Wait a second. Did you just go to who will take care of the roads?
Well, no,
you did. You literally used that as a real world example. Who will build the roads?
No. But you
fucking status.
You got to make sure you're taking care of them yourself. Somebody's going to do it then, so you got to make sure you're doing it yourself.
No. Hang on. We're going a whole different route on this. I am going to take over and become the lord of the manor, and these are going to be my feudal possessions. So my serfs can take care of the fucking roads. I'm letting them live on my land.
So a dictatorship is what you're going for.
I'm a little more, classical about it. So a kingdom.
Okay.
We're going with, a kingdom.
I gotcha. That'd be a cool part of Pasco to move into, though. County Line Road.
That is funny. All right. So County Line Road, where exactly along County Line Road? And what side? Because I thought literally I thought the middle of County Line Road was the county line.
Okay. So it is. No, it is. So, but it's the Pasco side. Not the Hernando side. As soon as you get into Hernando County, then Hernando knows they own that part.
Right.
But south of County Line Road, like Pasco thinks Hernando owns it because part of it's still called Spring Hill.
Right.
And they think that all of Spring Hill is in Hernando County, when in all reality, not all of Spring Hill is in Hernando County.
Oh, okay.
Part of it's in Pasco.
So it's within Spring Hill city limits, but not.
No. There is no such thing as Spring Hill city limits. There is no city governmental structure known as Spring Hill.
Oh, well, that's good.
It's just like Newport. You know how there's
it's like Palm Harbor. There's no city of Palm Harbor. It's just an area that's named.
Okay, yeah. It's like that. So, and it's in like there's trailers next to big houses, and they're the lots are all like at least acre lots, if not bigger than that.
You know, the thing about Hernando, the difference between Hernando and Pasco is, Hernando and Pasco are basically the same level of trashy, really close.
No,
they are. Just Hernando is much more pretentious about it.
Okay. All right. I might go with that. I've spent a lot of time in court. I can tell you that there's definitely some, right. There's definitely some bad parts of Pasco some bad parts of Hernando, but yeah.
As a Pinellas native, which of course,
they weren't doing live PD in Pasco for no reason though.
That is true.
Like, let me just say that right now. Like Pasco, when it comes to like the trashy stuff, man, they've upped their game. Hernando's got a long ways to go.
Well,
there's a lot more old people in Hernando.
And Pasco takes pride in their trashiness.
Oh, I mean,
they do. I mean, they embrace it.
They run their game.
Hernando, same type of people. They're just trying to hide it.
But you know what, though?
But you got to respect people who, like, they know who they are, and they're going to, they're going to embrace it. They're proud, living proud.
Yeah. No, I love Pasco, and I love Hernando. I never want to leave. I love these counties. I love where I live, so I don't want to even say anything bad about it. But I will say, I think I'm self-aware enough to admit the faults of, at least be able to admit the faults of the people where I live at. So, but I didn't want to stop you, though, from your story that you want to talk about.
Well, another thing, a lot happened on the way here.
Okay.
A lot happened on the way here. The drive here, first of all, it was, we're having to do it on a different day.
It's
Friday night. Normally we record on Saturday because, but I have obligations tomorrow. I'm going to be actually at a UCF game tomorrow. So I'm going to be enjoying that. So I'm driving in rush hour, which just sucks to begin with, but I'm listening to NPR, as I often do. I like NPR. And they're doing their annual, their quarterly now, fun drive.
Uh-huh.
So you know this, you heard it, they're asking
for money. The pledge drive.
The pledge drive, exactly. And they have someone come on, and it was phenomenal. It was like an epiphany almost. What the guy said, and I don't know who this was that was saying it, but they said, it doesn't matter if you donate. They say, statistically speaking, we know the vast majority of you are not going to donate, have never donated. And the reason that you're doing it is completely logical, because you've probably been listening to a long time. We know our listeners stick around for a long time. They listen for a long time. And you've never donated. after every one of these pledge drives, we tell you how important it is to donate, and you don't donate, but yet the next day, we're still on the air. So you've come to the conclusion that donating doesn't matter. And you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter. And that's what the guy's saying. He's saying this is heresy to say during a pledge drive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to thinking. And then he went on and said, you know, he said, but on this, you got to go past logic. You just got to take one step beyond that and get to the larger truth.
Yeah.
That terminology that everybody uses.
The bigger picture.
The greater truth. Yeah. The greater truth. And get to the greater truth. And he said, you enjoy this product. You use this product. It's only right that you pay for it. He says, any five-year-old, you can explain that to him. You know, yeah, that's fair. And that's being fair. And, you know, I thought that was so refreshing to say it that way that I actually was, I was looking for a place to pull over. I was going to pull over, call him up because there was only a couple hours left in the pledge drive and, you know, give him $10 a month or something like that. And it was really cool because they were also doing a giveaway. They were giving away steel straws, so you didn't have to use plastic straws, and transparent tote bags that were TSA approved, so they can see everything that you're carrying, which, you know, it's NPR. What are you going to do? But so I'm pulling over, and I realize, you know, after feeling, yeah, it would really feel good to go ahead and donate $10 a month. I'm also thinking, you know, we do the show and we're asking people to donate. And I would be a hypocrite if here I am listening to a show that's asking for donations. I'm not donating to them. I would be a hypocrite to sit there and ask you, because I ask you every week to donate to our show through patreon.com / unattended baggage.
Yeah.
And then it hit me that they're government fucking funded. I'm already paying for it. So I want to make a promise to our listeners out there. If you donate to us, you have my word. I swear on the life of my children that I will never, ever, Alex and I will never, ever take 1/3 of your income. And if you don't give us 1/3 of your income, we will never, ever come to your house with guns and take you away and put you in a cage. And that is my solemn pledge to you. So needless to say, as much as I like NPR, they ain't getting any more of my fucking money.
Amen.
Not
to
a dime.
Amen to that. But I do want to follow up with a question. I want to follow up with something. NPR,
but they almost caught me.
Well, here's the thing. If NPR were to come out and say that we are going to stop taking government money at all moving forward.
In a heartbeat. And I would give to PBS too.
You would do that.
Well, either that or I would tell my cable company.
Because it's only like 10%.
Right. Either I would give to NPR and give to PBS, or I would tell my cable company to, you know, hey, kick them some money. I'm paying you. You pay them.
Yeah.
You know, one or the other. So, but yeah, I you know, the guy was right on point with that, but he was just leaving out the fact.
They do get money from the government.
Well, they get a lot more. It's more than 10%.
I don't think it's more than 10%.
Yeah, it's more than 10% because of the state and local. And then they get funding from the schools, like all the schools that they broadcast. Like WUSF is the local one here. And they get funding from the university system. So they're getting state funding.
All right.
You know, so yeah. They're getting funding all over the place.
Okay.
Basically, the membership, the sponsor drives and things like that are just the gravy, you know. And granted, they probably couldn't do as much if they didn't have government funding, but just the fact that they're taking money from me with a gun pointed to my head is a big no-no in my book. You don't get any more than that.
I gotcha. And this week, though, I do want to say for the people that have signed up for this week for the membership program for Patreon, we welcome Robert Morris, Esquire, by the way. And I think this is actually my lawyer. Because I did tell him we did a podcast about the thing now or wait, about wait, the like, about the wait, incident.
Why do you only think it's your lawyer?
Well, here's the thing: like, I haven't talked to him to ask him,
right?
And so the name pops up, but
okay. Hang on a second. Your attorney's name is Robert Morris.
That's correct.
Okay, and you let him know that you talked about him last week on the podcast.
That's correct.
And then this week, somebody named Robert Morris signed up.
That's correct.
Do you think we have like 100 million listeners?
No, I don't think so. But he did.
I'm guessing it's your attorney.
First off, and I do want
to will lay money on it.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. So I want to say, first off, thank you very much. He was an awesome attorney. He did a very, very good job. I wrote a recommendation on Facebook and everything as well. And also, if you are in Hernando County and you need a lawyer, he is definitely the person
He's
to call.
Guy.
He is definitely the person to call. The Morris Law Group, just Google it and you'll find it right there. Now, I also have been this week, I spent some time door knocking. Now, normally when I've gone door to door in the past, I have gone door to door for candidates and for political things. And this is the first time in a while that I've actually done it for Danielle and Kelly's new business, that Another Girl Fights the Dust. So it's home cleaning. But I found something a little bit strange when I've been going out there. So I started, because I'm like, man, where are we gonna go? Because this is a new business for what kind of houses should I target? And I come to find out that I should just target any kind of house, because it doesn't matter what kind of house somebody has. Anybody can get this service, and they do. But I started out in Hernando Beach. So one day I went out, I did Hernando Beach. The funny thing is that when I was out in Hernando Beach, there was an extraordinary amount of houses for sale.
Right.
A lot. It was a lot of houses. Now, there was a lot of empty lots and a lot of houses that were there for sale. And there was also a decent amount that just were empty. Like there was nobody living in them. And I thought it was kind of strange. Then the next day, or the day after that, but the next time I went out, I actually went down to Pasco County. And I went to this place called Gulf Harbors. Gulf Harbors is also a community that is on the water. Like it has the inlets and you can have a boat there and stuff like that. And when I went out there, that's a much more established community than Hernando Beach. I mean, Hernando Beach just hasn't been filled up yet. But this one is a much more established community. And even that community, there was a decent amount of houses for sale in that community as well. Now, there was a lot of houses being built. In some of the areas, there was houses being built, especially in the stuff that was really close to the water. But there was also a lot of houses for sale out there. And it seemed like an extraordinary amount of houses for sale out there. And I think I know why that is.
Okay, because I definitely think I know why.
But okay, I'm going to ask you first. Why do you think that is?
Flood insurance.
Okay, that is the immediate ramification of that is the flood insurance part.
It's specifically some of the neighborhoods that you mentioned. And these are neighborhoods that were traditionally where middle class and even like lower middle class people could afford waterfront property.
Correct.
But being that it's waterfront and now we have the federal flood insurance and all the mandates and things like that, and nobody will give a mortgage without astronomical. I mean, I'm talking premiums of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, just insane amounts of coverage. Middle class people can't afford them. Now, the reason that they're not all for sale, especially out in Gulf Harbors, is because a lot of those people have lived there for 30, 40 years. They own their houses outright. Therefore, since they don't have a mortgage, they are legally allowed to drop their flood insurance. So that, they can just go ahead and risk it, but maybe they don't like the concept of having to risk it, because that's their thinking. I'm one hurricane away from losing my biggest investment in life.
Yeah.
So I think that is kind of the dynamic. And the reason that you're seeing construction that is right on the water is because those people can go and buy up two or three lots, build a mansion, and they don't care that they're paying $20,000 a year for flood insurance.
Well, also because everything that's being built out there right now is all being elevated. Built on stilts. It's all elevated. So even if there's a flood that comes in, it doesn't matter for those people per se, because it's not going to flood their stuff.
They still have to have pretty significant flood insurance, but it's not nearly as severe as the single story homes out there. Basically it was all the old vacation homes out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just interesting. Now I do think that also this is where if you're looking for a real ramification of like global warming or the rising of the sea levels, this is where you're going to actually see the free market aspect of it at work is going to be in the insurance marketplace, because the insurance marketplace doesn't care about hype. It cares about what can happen, the actuarial tables or whatever you want to call it. The truth of what will happen is what is going to be presented there.
Ah, but that's not the case. There's a lot of federal intervention in that. And the reality is...
That's true. But it's stopping, though.
What do you mean?
They can only do so much.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Even they have limits.
Yeah, there is a limit. But the other side of the equation, though, is the sea levels haven't risen in that area. I mean, they've been flooding since the 1950s.
Oh, no, no, they haven't. No, they haven't risen at all yet.
Right after they built that place, they said, oh, shit, we're basically at sea level here. It's going to flood every time we get a storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you talked about, remember as a kid, just
the no-name storm.
The no-name storm. You were talking about pulling out carpet at houses back in the 90s.
Because it went 4 foot.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that's the highest it's been.
Yeah. So. No. The no-name storm was the thing that caused the highest.
Right.
And that's why, like, you know, those houses that are out there, all the new ones, they're building them all on stilts now.
Right.
Everything's on stilts now.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, here's the funny thing. This is the capitalist in me, too, is like when you're walking those neighborhoods, your thought isn't that you're mad at those people for owning those houses. Your thought is, man, I'd like to make enough money to live in one of those houses.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Or I wonder if I can buy one of these on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, I take advantage of the situation.
Oh, yeah. No, there was some beautiful stuff out there. But, and everybody was really nice. It was a really good time.
But that's really what's going on right now in those markets is most of those houses are teardowns. That basically Gulf Harbors needs to be completely leveled. And eventually, you know, over time, it pretty much will be because they got to go back in and build houses on stilts because it's going to flood. It does. And as far as I'm concerned, it has nothing to do with global warming and just the natural cycle of things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The natural, okay, climate change.
Right.
I don't want to say global warming. So climate change. Like, but because the climate's always changing. That's the thing. Like, we always, like, and we're going to get into this later on in the second hour when it comes to the Greta girl with the girl with the Asperger's that they had come out and talk about global warming and stuff. But, like,
well, it changes over, you know, tens of thousands of years. It's not we're all going to be 6 feet underwater and
nobody
stole
your childhood, chick.
Right.
Like, calm down. Take a Xanax or something.
We'll talk about her a little later.
Yeah, we'll talk about her a little bit later.
So you think that it's not totally the flood insurance that is the cause of it?
I think that the flood insurance is a big cause of it,
right.
But I do think that the perception is also another cause of it.
Tell me the perception you think.
I think the perception of being on the coast. No, no, no. I think the perception of the coast of global, of what they think the sea levels are going to rise, that because that perception has been so put into this, like into the mindset of people that mentality is actually having an effect as well.
Well, if that's the case, why do the Obamas and the Bidens and the... Bernie Sanders of the world
because
keep
they know it's
waterfront
fake.
Property.
Because they know. No.
I mean, the Obamas literally just bought a huge chunk of land and a mansion that is, I think, 8 feet above sea level.
No. Well, they don't give a crap.
Right.
I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about they're feeding the sheep.
Right.
And it's the sheep that are feeling that way now.
Right.
Like, we're going to get into that story too about how people are really upset about politics right now. But, like, that because of that, I think that's part of it. Don't get me wrong. I think that the bigger part of it actually is the price tag that they see when it comes to the insurance. And insurance needed to change, by the way. Like, we need, I'm against the federal intervention on the insurance part. And if they were to eliminate that, like, that's a big issue that Bill Arrakis around here locally always runs on, is that he's stopping that from actually having, like, the free market actually come into play.
Well, you know, that is part of it. It's also the mortgage companies that are requiring certain protections. And that at least makes a little more sense because if they're going to be on the hook for a property, you know, they need to make sure that, you know, it's insured. I would think they would take some of that interest and self-insure, you know, but yeah.
I think what they got to do at this point is, look, we need to see a lot more of the houses, like, back away from these areas that are prone to flood, though. Because the thing is this, is that you shouldn't have it. You shouldn't keep putting it. Like, if where you live floods and then it floods again and then it floods again, well, maybe you just shouldn't live there.
Maybe. Here's a better idea. And this might be something we want to think about as an investment opportunity. Maybe instead we should just start building, instead of cement slab foundations, barges for foundations.
What?
Think about it. Your foundation to your house is a barge. And of course, you got a little nice step up, you know, the 4 feet or whatever it is to step up to your house, just like a foundation of a house. But when the floodwaters come, the barge just floats. And then when it, you know, maybe you have some tie downs, keep it in place. And then when the water recedes, it just sets right back down on the ground. And all you got to do is build a new stairs. I like it.
Why don't you just put it on stilts then, though?
I like the barge idea better.
Why?
You know, and think about it. If you ever want to just like move your house, you just got to wait for the next flood.
Okay.
Put a little Evan Rude on the back, man, and Jesus. We're going to Kentucky.
You've lost your mind. You've lost your mind.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm being very facetious, but the more I think about it, you know, that's actually a plausible scenario for waterfront homes to build them on barges.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not even close.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
Think about it. Yeah, if the stilts, there we go. That's what we do. We drill holes in the corner of the barges, okay? Run concrete posts through the center of them. So when the barge floats, it can only go vertically, okay? So it's like having your house on stilts. It just floats up to the proper level.
Yeah, you've lost
it. Maybe you got some pegs in there. Once it floats up high enough, you just peg it.
You have gone completely crazy at this point.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm patenting that. I'm calling the patent office after
the show. Go ahead and do that. Yeah. Go ahead and do it. Spend the money on
that. I think it's brilliant.
Oh, no.
I think you just can't see my brilliance in this.
I might not be able to. Might not be able to. That's really what it comes down to. So there is a lot of things that went on this week, but I think that the first thing, because I had no way of trying to segue into this one, is the first thing I want to talk about is that the sea of empty seats in a lot of the NFL games that are going on, and also the ratings drop of the Oscars at the same, or the Emmy Awards. I'm sorry, the Emmy Awards just happened. And the Emmy viewership falls below under 7 million. And with the empty seats, like there's a lot of, like if you looked at a lot of these games, there are just empty seats like it's a women's soccer game.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. As someone who's a huge football fan, I think there's many reasons for that.
What do you think is some of the reasons for it?
All right, well, first and foremost, let's address the obvious, and that is the whole kneeling, Colin Kaepernick, you know, the NASCAR crowd that thinks that, you know, cloth symbols are more important than reality and, you know, get teary-eyed when Lee Greenwood plays. I still can't believe that some people think that song's not meant to be ironic. But, you know, the point is they were deeply offended, and I think a lot of them actually left football. But that's only a small segment of the entire group. Another segment of it is it's just too goddamn expensive to go to a football game. I mean, you go, I had a buddy of mine, I haven't been to a football game in like year before last, I think, so it's been about 2 years, and a buddy of mine got free tickets, and even with free tickets it still ended up costing, you know, like $100. It just, you know, for parking and a couple of beers and some food, and next thing you know, you know, I walked in here with $100. I got eight now. You know what I'm saying? So even with free tickets, yeah, the cost of tickets, that you can't take your family to a football game unless you got, you know, $600 to blow.
So you think that, let me see if I get this right. So the kneeling part and the people that have left now, what percentage of the empty stadium do you think that represents?
I think that might be, I'm going to give that
20%.
20%. Yeah. And I'm going to say 60% is just cost. Pure cost.
Just pure cost.
Pure cost. It's not affordable for a middle-class family to go to a football game, really. I mean, maybe you do it once a season, but it's, you know, nobody can afford season tickets. Nobody can do that, you know, eight times and then maybe a couple more times for the playoffs and spend $600 each time, unless they're in a certain, you know, pretty high economic bracket. You got three kids. Think of that. Five people going to a game. That's a grand, you know, every game.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. I really don't have and I have no problem with this either, by the way, that people aren't going to these games, but not for that reason.
Well, those aren't the only reasons. The further reasons are the, you know, the advent of large high definition TVs.
Yeah, because it's a lot easier to watch the game at home.
Right, right. And I think that's probably another 10% of it, because, you know, that in addition to the cost, it's like, hey, I'll sit here at home, make some nachos, drink some beer, and watch the game. I'm cool.
Well, yeah, because, and also by watching it at home and watching it in the comfort of your own home, you're not going through the pain of going to a game.
Right.
Because the game, like, it's hot outside, especially in Florida. Oh, like, yeah. It's hot outside.
It's just miserable to go to Ray J.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's just, yeah. Why would you subject yourself to that?
Do you think that there's people that aren't as into football? You think that football itself has also lost an audience?
That's the last 10% of it, and it's not football. It's everything. Everything that is an external activity is losing audience, and that's the Emmys.
Yeah, because the Emmy viewership now. We'll get into the Emmy part. So Emmy viewership falls under 7 million for the first time. Like, this is an all-time low for the Emmys.
Right.
Watched by 6.9 million viewers from 8 to 11, and it was a hostless one because we can't have nice things. Like, the last person that was the was supposed to be the host was what's his name? What's that dude's name? He's a small comedian. He's a tiny one. Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Kevin
yes,
Hart.
Right. He got in a car accident.
Well, yeah, but that's not why he wasn't there, though. He wasn't there because he did a bad tweet about something being gay or not being gay.
Oh, right.
He wasn't okay with being gay, and so they went after him, and so he had to not do it.
Well,
so
that, traditionally, so
they're going with none. This is like a South Park episode, by the way.
Oh, it totally is. Reality is a South Park episode these days. But that's why Emmy viewership is down, because people like a host, and B, people are disconnecting from this sort of thing in general. That's why box office receipts are down. You know,
unless it's a Marvel movie.
Unless it's a Marvel movie. Yeah. In fact, God, I hate to say it, but I want to see Joker.
Well, Joker's not a Marvel movie. That's a DC movie. But that's a one-off movie, though.
Right.
That's not part of a universe. That's just a one-off movie.
Thank God, man.
Oh, it looks good.
I don't even understand what that purple guy is doing with that Infinity Glove or whatever. I have no concept what's going on there.
Well, he's dead now, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, really? Spoiler alert. Thanks.
If you didn't see it by now, you weren't going to see it.
I probably eventually would have.
Yeah, well, then, you know, then you didn't. If you didn't watch it yet, then, you know, I don't care.
Basically, when it's on reruns on some.
Yeah. Again, it's look, personally, though, I will say this. I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But hold on. Let's get back to this thing.
No. It's all the same thing. It's so much of it is the same problem. It's like a movie, you know. A movie ticket's $12. Popcorn is $10. You go to a movie and it's going to cost you, $40 per
person. Oh yeah, especially if you got a family.
You take a family, it's going to cost you $100.
Oh, it could. Oh yeah, now, look, everything costs more money to go. Like, it used to be that you could just spend a very little bit of money, go to a movie, and have a good time, and that is not the case anymore.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Things like movies and sports events were things that you know, poor people could do. They were things that middle class people could
do all the time.
Yeah, do it all the time. And now it's come to the point where these type of things are a middle class splurge item. And for poor people, it's just out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the difference. So it's not inflation. You know, none of these things have kept up with inflation. They've outpaced inflation dramatically. You know, the fact that when I was a kid, you know, an expensive movie, I hate that I'm saying when I was a kid, but in the 80s, when I was growing up and going to movies a lot, we had the dollar movies. You know, we would go and it was $1 to see a movie. You know, now I don't know what it is, $12 to see a movie?
It's $12.
So that is literally a 1,200% increase in, 30 years. It's too much. It's outpaced inflation. It's outpaced earnings. And it's, they've just gotten too greedy on it. And there needs to be
a correction.
There needs to be a correction. There needs to be a market correction. So for Hollywood to survive, for NFL to survive, they need to lower their prices. It's simple as that. They've outpriced themselves in the market.
Well, you know what happens? And the only movies that make a ton of money are the Marvel movies then, or like movies that are like that, like, because those things are making $1 billion a movie.
Right.
Like, everybody's still going to those movies.
No, that's not true. That's not true. If you adjust it, less people are still going to the movies. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, you're saying because it costs so much more.
It costs 12 times more, but 12 times more people aren't going to see the movies that were in the
1980s. I hear what you're saying.
Half the people are going to see the movies.
Yeah. No, that's true.
So they may be taking in still more money at the box office for those big summer blockbusters, but less people are engaged in the activity of movies. So when you have a generation of kids that aren't necessarily growing up where going to the movie is like a thing that they do on a regular basis, when they get to adulthood, that's not going to be something that they're going to take their kids to.
Well, yeah, because well, what they're going to do is they're going to do like either Netflix or Hulu. Right. Because there's a lot of new movies now that are actually going there. Like, those are now movie houses. Like, Netflix has their own movies.
Right, right.
You know, Hulu has their own movies. You know,
and that's Amazon Prime. They have better content. My wife and I were just talking about this. Hollywood is just rehashing crap. I mean, they're doing an animated Addams Family movie. It's like, okay, look, it was a series first. Then you made it into a live action movie, and now it has to be an animated movie. It's like every decade you just rehash the same crap over and over again. Whereas Hulu and Netflix are making original, interesting, good, high quality content.
Yeah, there's some good stuff that they've been out there that they've been putting out.
Right.
There was this Good Omen one where they were had like the devil and the angel, you know, like an angel and an evil spirit were on like on Earth, and there was the end of the world coming. Like, it was a good show. It was like dark British comedy humor. And then I watched the Boys, which was a satirical look at superheroes, like, or a realistic look at superheroes, depending on which way you want to look at it. And it was actually a good series.
You know, a series you might like, American Gods.
I have not seen that yet.
Try that one out. I think that's on Netflix. I don't know. I don't actually subscribe to Netflix or Hulu or anything out.
I got Netflix.
I pirate it all.
Oh, I got Netflix though. Like, they had The Punisher. The Punisher series was on Netflix, which was my favorite comic when I was a kid.
Right.
And so that series was awesome. That series was awesome.
The Punisher was your favorite comic as a kid, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny, huh?
Yeah, I like The Punisher.
Wasn't he always based in Tampa?
I mean, that wasn't the reason why I liked him, but yeah.
No, I'm just curious about that.
I think a lot of times, well, no, I think it was all over the place. You know,
was
in the comic,
okay.
But the movie always had him in Tampa, though.
Right. Okay, that's what it was.
So that was a good one. But
yeah, that's what it is. And technology is the last piece of the puzzle. So there's a lot of reason that these things are dying. But I think if they want to get people back in the seats, the first thing they need to do is cut the prices dramatically. I mean, you can't have a $14 beer at a stadium and expect people to keep coming.
Yeah, but this is where the opening I think you're going to have for the XFL comes into play.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, it depends on what McMahon does, because that after this season of football is when the XFL season starts.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. And Tampa's got a team.
Yeah.
Tampa's got a team. I think it's the Vipers.
The Vipers?
Tampa Bay Vipers or something like that.
Hmm.
So
I don't like that because of my book.
Well, you know, what are you gonna do?
We couldn't bring back the Bandits. Love the Bandits back in the day.
Yeah. You know what? I bet you there's probably some kind of copyright on that.
There might be. Yeah. There might be.
So, and I'm sure that whenever they score a touchdown, they're not going to be putting up the OK symbol, though. Horrible
you know,
segue.
Hang on.
Horrible segue.
Yeah, that was horrible. But I'm not even mad. I'm not even mad. How do you get there?
I don't even know.
How do you get anywhere with that kind of stupidity?
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking.
It's on NPR, by the way.
We were talking last night about that, whether we were going to talk about it on the show. I'm like, no, that's played out. That's old news, you know. And then you said, well, the Anti-Defamation League just officially called it. If you don't know, folks, the OK symbol, and that's where your finger and thumb, your index finger and thumb are placed together in a circle, and the remaining three fingers are upright.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're doing the German way of signaling the number three, kind of with the OK sign. If you know American Sign Language, that also means asshole. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the symbol we're talking about. So, and this came up a while back. Trolls on the internet, and this is actually how it started. Trolls either on Reddit or 4chan, I'm not sure where, actually said, all right, let's see if we can get people to believe that the OK symbol stands for white power. And the way they classified it is your three fingers are the W. And then the circle with the O with your finger, with the rest of your arm extends, look like a P. Okay? So it's WP, white power. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. People have been doing the OK symbol to mean everything's okay for, I don't know, a century, two centuries. I don't know where it originated, but I'm sure it dates back a couple of centuries at least. So it's, you know, it's well known. But I didn't want to talk about it just because I thought it was old news. But then last night, after we spoke on the phone, true story, I was watching the game. Oh, it's Thursday night because I was watching the game, and Dawn comes in and says, "How you doing on your fantasy?" And it was in the middle of play, and I didn't answer. I just held up the OK sign, And she goes, you know, that's racist. And I thought, oh, shit, if my wife is talking about this, we got to talk about it. So hang on a second. So my answer to her was, well, yeah, I know. I wouldn't say an OK. I was saying white power. I mean, Green Bay is playing. It's white power.
There you go.
But yeah, how fucking ridiculous is that? And, you know, you would think the Anti-Defamation League would know better. They got to be smarter than
Here's
that.
Here's the thing, though. But they're acknowledging at this point how it started. But they don't. But they're saying that now they've actually done it. Like, they acknowledge that it was started on like 8chan or whatever.
Right.
But then they also say, but it started as a joke, but now it's for real.
Okay. But so do they acknowledge that 99.9996% of the people who ever make that hand symbol are making it to mean okay? And there's like, I don't know, 2 dozen assholes out there in the world that it means white power to. I mean, so why would you even come out and say with it? I mean, I think for you to say that it actually means white power when people do it, it's got to get to some breaking point. And that breaking point should maybe be like, I don't know, 20%, 30%, 50%.
This is why we can't have nice things, though. No. Okay, so let me read this part. So Oren Segal, who's the director of ADL's Center on Extremism, told NPR that for years on a fringe online message board such as 4chan and 8chan, that the OK sign has been deployed in memes and other images promoting hate. So he's admitting it was there. Now, he's not admitting right now that it was a joke on there.
Yeah, it was a troll job.
So he said, given the number of white supremacists who've adopted it, he said, now it carries a nefarious message. Context is always key, Segal says. More people than not will use the OK symbol as just OK. Oh, but in those cases where there's more of an underlying meaning, I think that's important for people to understand that it could be used and is being used for hate as well. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, this is the thing. Like, they were trolling you and you went with it.
Right. Right, you played into their hands.
That's what you're doing. You're playing into their hands.
It was literally a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, the Moon Man. It was a meme that was derived from 1980s era McDonald's commercials that has since been hijacked by members of the alt-right who attach racist songs, language, and imagery to it. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't believe that this is what we're doing. And the bowl haircut is also a racist symbol now. The bowl haircut.
Well,
you know,
shit,
what?
I was a racist all through elementary school.
The Dylan Roof bowl cut. Like, these guys, and then, you know, same with Pepe the Frog. Like, they just...
That's just funny.
Now, if you look at the hate symbol database, there's 204, and this is why they're making everything racist.
Right.
And I think this is the point I'm almost making here. In here, there's 214 different results of racist or hate symbols. One of them is 111. What? Or 111. The other one is 100%. Another one is 109, 110. Another one is 12. Another one is 13. Another one is 13/52, 13/90. Are we just coming up with like mathematical?
Right.
Is every number?
Apparently
of,
math
a hate
is
symbol?
Racist.
Yeah. Math is racist. That's what it is, right? Math. Is the number 18. 18 is, hold on, let me tell you about this. So 18 is a white supremacist alphanumeric code for Adolf Hitler, 1A and 8H. It is most commonly associated with the British white supremacist group Combat 18 or C18. So you're going to do an entire number because of one group.
Wow, coincidentally, it's also the age when people can vote.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, hold on. Listen to
this
one.
There's a connection there.
21-212. Members of the Unforgiven, a Florida-based racist prison gang, used the numeric symbol 21-212 as a short slang, substituting the letters for numbers. 21 stands for U, unity. 2 stands for B, brotherhood. And the 12 stands for L, loyalty. Like, are you kidding? Oh, the 2-3 hand sign. So one side's 2 and the other side's 3. That's racist. Like, 311. Oh, that was
the band.
Yeah, the band. 311, right?
Well, that sucks. So that really sucks for them.
318. They're just picking numbers at this point.
Yeah.
737. So
83.
So 737. It used to be a plane. Now it's something racist.
Southwest is out of business.
Yeah. 83. 88. The number 9. ACAB. You know, AKIA. You know, the Alabama, now here, the Alabama Aryan Brotherhood.
See, okay, that might be racist.
There you go. There's that's, something that's racist.
That's the first thing I heard that actually sounded racist.
American Front. The American Front now is a longstanding racist skinhead group. Well, we know about that one.
You're right.
Yeah, we know about that
one. Yeah, you scrolled through like five pages of just numbers.
Yeah, numbers.
Like just numbers.
Before we got to the things that make any sense, anti-Antifa images. There's considered
no,
racist.
No. Wait a second. No, anti-Antifa image. I'm anti-Antifa.
Yeah, but that's it. So there's your if you use the anti-Antifa thing, then you're a racist.
Well, what if I put it right next to like the anti, you know, the circle in the line through the Antifa flag, right next to the circle in the line through the swastika, because I'm anti both them motherfuckers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. I got you. Aryan Brotherhood of Texas has a sign that's like. I think it's this, yeah. That's
shocker? I know what that one means.
Hold on. They got one that's the Aryan circle. Because that shocker. Sign. So, like, if you're the person, or if you're a person that lost your finger.
So, if you're missing your index.
Like, it looks like this guy's just missing a finger.
If you're missing your index finger, you're racist.
Yeah, you're racist. Aryan Cowboy Brotherhood. Aryan Cowboy. Which I will say sounds like a really cool punk rock band.
Wait. Hang on. Are you sure it's not the Aerial Cowboys and they're like a parachuting club like the Flying Elvises?
No, it's a small white.
I think it's the Aerial Cowboys.
Maybe.
I saw them flying into a Dallas Cowboys
the
game.
Letter A and K put together. Let's see. What other ones are. See, now I'm getting into some stuff that actually looks pretty racist. The nuclear sign that's in a black shield. Blood and honor. Let's see here. What else is racist? Boots and laces. If you have boots. Oh, yeah. Okay. So racist skinheads prefer wearing steel-toed work boots, typically with red or white shoelaces, laced a certain way. So like if you lace your shoes up. I mean, I did hear, but I've heard that
well,
one
yeah,
before.
The old black combat boots.
Hold on. Then they put one up here that actually really. Burning crosses. Okay. I'll give you that one.
That one, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
Burning neo-Nazi crosses, symbols.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Now, they put the Confederate flag here, too, which I think that's kind of bullshit, but, you know.
You know, it's gotten to the point, I used to defend the Confederate flag, but it's gotten to the point where it's just, I don't even bother anymore. I don't care about flags enough, but there was a time when it bothered me that people automatically assumed that was racist, but you know, it was from a racist time. Look, it was from a time when the people who flew that flag owned slaves. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah. No, I'll give you that one.
You know, I, for a while I was like, you know, just kind of soft spot, but you know, yeah, you got to let that one go.
Oh, the fasces, the faces. Faces are an ancient Roman symbol of authority
the
and
fascies,
government.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mussolini's fascist movement in Italy.
That's where fascism comes
from.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But so that symbol is considered a hate symbol.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. But by the same token, it's actually an ancient Roman thing. So there's history, blah, 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 blah.
Or it was the logo of
you know,
a certain Senate candidate here in Florida.
Well, yeah, I don't even want to talk about that. But yeah, symbols change. Numbers don't change. I don't understand how the numbers are ever. Numbers can't be racist. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, well,
like
they're HSN is racist. So Home Shopping
Network. Home Shopping Network.
Doesn't that suck?
I always knew something. Was
oh, it's
not
okay
right
to be white.
Them.
That's racist.
So it's not okay to be white.
I guess not. I mean, okay, let's see. So. This is what it's saying. So, it's okay to be white is a slogan popularized by the website 4chan in 2017 for trolling purposes and which was soon adopted by white supremacists who had occasionally used the phrase themselves in the past.
Okay. So, basically, most of the stuff on here, with the exception of like the Aryan Brotherhood and burning crosses, yeah, we get that. The swastika, the Confederate flag, we get that. Okay. But, you know, when you're talking about things that originated as troll jobs on 4chan, you're being trolled.
Yeah.
Ku Klux
Klan robes.
Just stop.
Ku Klux Klan robes. I mean, okay. Love
yeah,
that
one. And the hood.
Now, I will say this. Hold on, though. Love Your Race is another one. So it says, Love Your Race is a white supremacist slogan originally popularized by the neo-Nazi National Alliance in white supremacist literature and flyers. The phrase is often accompanied by an idealized image of a beautiful and or maternal white woman. Who knew?
Whatever.
I think it's funny. Like, I am going through all these now. The Moon Man. Okay, so late night alt-right Moon Man. So Moon Man is a meme that was derived from a character in the 1980s McDonald's restaurant commercials that was appropriated by white supremacists, especially from the alt-right, who attach it to racist songs, imagery, and language.
Okay, I kind of remember this now. That's like the crescent moon, except he's got a nose and a mouth.
Yeah, and he's got sunglasses on.
Yeah, right. I kind of remember that. Wasn't he playing a saxophone at one time?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The new Black Panther Party also is on here for hate, though. So at least they've gotten one thing that was not white.
Sorry, I messed up your Black Panther Party.
There's the okay hand gesture, Shimmer. So there's that.
Just stupid.
I'm trying to think. Like, I'm going through a whole lot of these things. I'm trying to scroll through them like pretty quickly. Pepe the Frog, we know about that one. A pit bull. So now we're going to dogs.
Oh, shit.
So pit bulls are racist.
RCA, the old TVs are racist.
Well, of course those are racist. What are you talking about? Yeah. What are you talking about?
But you know, this is why the Grammy can't get a host, and it's what Dave Chappelle was talking about.
Oh yeah.
And it's why Beer Guy and the guy who got Beer Guy in trouble and then got in trouble, it's everybody's gonna get attacked for this eventually.
Yeah.
Tell the Beer Guy story. I'm tired of the anti-defamation. Okay. League. They're a bunch of idiots.
I'm glad you are, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long have we been going? 51 minute mark.
Okay, good.
We haven't even got to the stuff we were going to talk about.
I know.
There's two big things that we're going to have to go in the second hour. Well, we'll keep going for this hour first, though.
But yeah, tell the Beer Guy story.
All right. So there's this gentleman, and I had it pulled up a second ago, so I have to pull it back up. So basically, he was a person that was on TV. He had a sign that was basically.
Was it at a football game or something?
A football game, yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't see this when it happened.
Yeah, so he was at a football game, and he basically said he was running out of he's running out of beer money. And
that's not what he said. He said he needed, and this just pains me to even say this. He said he needed a Busch Light resupply.
Yeah, yeah. So he has a sign.
Busch Light.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
So he goes and he puts this sign up. He's a college football fan. He was begging for beer money, and because he put this up. His name's Carson King. He's 24 years old.
Holding a sign says, need
Busch Light supply.
At least he's a college kid. Yeah, at least he's a college kid, so we can give him a little leeway on the Busch Light.
So he raised like $1 million.
Right. People sent him money for more Busch Light. He could literally buy every Busch Light on the planet.
Yes, and still have a lot of money left over. Yeah,
still pick up some Natty Light, too.
Yes, he could. Now, here's the thing. So this thing went viral. It caught wind, and so there was the Des Moines Register, the Des Moines Register, which is a local paper around there, was reporting on it. But what the reporter did was he went through this guy's 8 years of this guy's Facebook or Twitter feed,
right,
and found that he reposted some like Tosh.0 like racist humor, like comparing,
Okay, so first of all, so the guy's 24. So if he went back 8 years, that means he's going back to when he's 16.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And he reposted something that Tosh.0, which is a character on a TV show, a Comedy Central TV show, who does like, he's essentially a shock jock for TV.
Yeah.
Is probably the best way to say it.
Well, he was like after Chappelle, he was like the white version of Chappelle.
Not nearly as good, though.
No, not nearly as good.
Very gay.
Yeah.
He was always getting nude with somebody.
Now, because of this, though, hold on before this. So Anheuser-Busch ended up kind of aligning with this guy. They were kind of paying him a little bit at this point.
Right, because he was a big deal. He was a little bit of a sensation. So they were, helping him out.
Yeah. So it was good.
Right.
But the reporter was going to report on this guy and what he did. So in order to get in front of it, he admitted to doing it, said he was sorry for doing it, and right.
But all he did was reposted tweets from somebody else.
Yeah, basically.
That were, comedy.
Yeah, comedy.
Okay.
He didn't really mean it. Like, he was a 16-year-old dumb kid.
It was funny. Right.
Anheuser-Busch drops any kind of thing with him. They're going to still donate the money because they were going to match whatever the donations were.
Right.
So they're going to match the donation.
And give it to a charity hospital.
Yeah. The University of Iowa Steed Family Children's Hospital.
Right. So great cause. So this kid ended up,
getting vilified,
right?
Because some stupid reporter, and this is where the story gets classic, by the way. But some stupid reporter goes back for 8 years worth of stuff that they didn't really have to do on this kid because it was just a feel good story. So this reporter just had to ruin it for what they call cancel culture, where you got to cancel everybody out.
Right. Which Chappelle actually
went after.
We'll give him credit for that. That's cancel culture is. Didn't he coin that?
He didn't coin it, but he's attacking it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's one of the big people attacking it, and he's doing well with it. Now, here's the ironic part: the guy that reported on it, they went back through his Twitter feed. He said racist stuff, and now he's fired.
He got fired.
Well, yeah. They said he's no longer working there.
People in glass houses should not throw stones. But really, here's the thing. Look, all of us have said something or tweeted something. I mean, shit, I've said a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, taken individually or out of context would... I've said stuff on this show that would get me fired from a lot of jobs in situations like that.
Yeah.
You know? And I always say it with a point, and I always say it in certain contexts, but still, the point is, if you go back in time and isolate something that somebody said or tweeted or even retweeted, I don't get the retweets. You know what I'm saying? It's not even like he said that initially, but, you know, the point is... Let's stop going after everyone for everything all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because the funny thing is here we are attacking this kid, and the reporter's attacking this kid, and then somebody, you know, looked into the reporter and the reporter got attacked. And yet we accept it from our leaders left and right.
Well, we're not really accepting it, because what you're seeing now is you're actually seeing, like, this kind of behavior is having its toll on society.
Everywhere except politics.
Everywhere, including politics.
Everywhere except politics.
Well, I don't know why you say except politics.
Because in politics, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Well, look at all the thousands of things that Trump has said.
Yeah, but he's the exception to the rule, though.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
You know how many people have lost out because of...
Justin Trudeau was in blackface. He's still in office. That's apparently the biggest crime on the planet. I swear to God, I wish I did.
He's not going
to
get reelected, though.
I wish to God that I had some blackface in my past. I don't think I do, but if anyone out there has a Halloween picture of me doing blackface, please post it on the internet.
So
okay. I want it out there.
Well, a new survey that's out right now, though, reveals that 2/3 of Americans right now two in five Americans are stressed out about political climate. 1 in 5 says they're even losing sleep over it. So 1/3 of the people surveyed felt they feel views expressed on cable channels are driving them crazy. Like, they're driving people crazy.
Like, in a literal sense.
Like, in a literal
sense. People are starting to believe that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're
getting
that.
A lot of this, you know. There's a pool of, and I'm trying to find the part of it that talks about this, but there's a certain percentage that are contemplating suicide because of this. And it's like, here it is. Quite a few of the numbers jumped out at me, Smith elaborates. 20% have damaged friendships because of political disagreements. 1 in 5 report fatigue, and that's a small proportion, but 4% of the people in our sample said that they've had suicidal thoughts because of politics, and that translates to 10 million adults.
Wow. Wow. Suicidal thoughts because of politics.
Because of politics.
That's crazy.
Now, instantly,
why?
Well, because I just think that they're seeing everything that's crazy. I think it's a combination of things, actually. One, I think that this is if you take what's going on the mainstream media all the time when it comes to outrage, everything's outrageous
theater.
All the time, with outrage culture that's growing with that, with social media and how that is just toxifying the environment, and how everything is the worst story ever, and everybody's Hitler, and everybody's racist, I think this is how you get there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess for some people that's impactful. You know, I don't know, just humorous at this point.
Well, I think if you can get people to break, then I think out the other side of this could be anarchy.
Yeah, once you get past it, you realize that it's all just such a freaking joke anyway. That the only thing to maybe that's it. It's laugh or go crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
I laugh to keep from crying, right? How many times you hear things said that? I'm laughing to keep from crying.
Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps.
I think that what has to happen is that what we have to do is to get people. Look, before we were really, before me and you, we were going out there since 2009 or whatever, or even earlier than that. We were really trying to get people to understand that the right way to go about things, and that you know, politics is, you know, these people that are in charge are bad people and all this kind of stuff, and that, you know, we need to let people be more free, right? I actually think that now what we need to do is to rip the mask off the whole thing and just reiterate to everybody all the time what a joke this is, and how there's nobody coming to save you, and you have to save yourself, but you have to save yourself from caring about these people anymore. Like, they're driving you insane. Politics is ruining your life.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. Again, it took me a while
you,
to get there.
Where you been? I've been waiting for you.
It took me a while to get there, but you know what, though?
It's the inevitable logical conclusion. If you can take the emotion out of what you're seeing, and that some people are very much emotionally involved in this, but the moment you take all emotion out of it and just look at it objectively, and that's what most people have a very hard time doing. But when you can look at it objectively and say, what if I had no skin in the game? What if I was at 10,000 feet watching this unfold, an alien trying to figure out what's going on here? What would I think of it? And what you would think of it is it's all absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Not just the politics of it. The entire structure of government, everything that we perceive to be so important and so critical to our daily lives, is utter absurdity. But we're so entrenched in it. It really takes it's a struggle to step back and to analyze it from a non-involved party perspective.
Yeah. And now here's the thing. As an individual, the only thing that you really have control over is yourself and your actions and what you can do as a human being yourself. And if you really want to make the world a better place, the best way to do it is for you to, A, be nice to people, help people when you can, help yourself, you know what I mean? Make sure you're being a productive member of society yourself. You know, and, you know, having a job and making your money and, you know, making sure that you're self-sufficient and self-sustaining. But to not buy in to the people that are trying to manipulate you to be able to control you via the fear.
You know, I'm going to take a different tact on that. I'm going to say that probably the most important thing you can do is cannibalism. Kill and eat as many people as you can.
No.
That's going to solve the problem.
No,
I think so.
No.
I think so.
I think you're wrong.
I think we need more cannibalism in this world.
We definitely don't need more cannibalism in this world, by the way. We definitely don't need more cannibalism in this world. But look, whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump or halfway Trump or pro-Democrat or anti-Democrat or any of them, just realize one thing. These people are manipulating your fear to control you. All of them are doing it.
Yep.
None of them are getting out of there. The reason that guys like me and Adrian never won elections was because we were trying to educate you on the best way to go about like living your own life, and we didn't want to control your life. These other people are, because they want to control your life, because they want power, they have a distinct advantage over everybody else.
That's the key. Humans who seek power are almost universally doing it for their own gain. And the few who are seeking power for other reasons rarely achieve it and never hang on to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny that this show for this first hour ended up going this way, especially considering the political theater we have going on in hour number two.
Right. But, yeah. We didn't even touch the elephant in the room.
Yeah. We didn't even touch that stuff yet. I mean, you know, the Trump, you know, Trump reality show season three is not, we haven't even gone into that part yet. But I almost think that we did more stuff in this hour that was better to do, because you got to understand that, like, it's all crap. It's all a bunch of crap, and they're all lying to you, and they're doing it on purpose to control you.
Yeah, yeah. And if you think one side's doing it and the other's not, you still haven't figured it out.
That's
yet.
Right. That's right. You got to know they're all doing it until you can accept. It's like that one part in Fight Club, right?
Yeah.
Until you realize that you've lost everything, you can't do anything or whatever. I don't remember.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
But you gotta hit rock bottom.
Yeah, you got to hit rock bottom. You have to understand, they're all doing it.
And then you'll have your moment of clarity and you'll be anarchists like us.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm not even telling you that you have to go all the way anarchist. What I am telling you is that the government is not going to solve any of your problems. Like, they're not there to provide you solutions.
That's not really why they exist.
No.
That might have been why they were initially created, but that's not why they exist.
Exactly. So I thought it was, you know, I thought it was definitely worth talking about. And I'm glad we got there by the end of the hour, actually. Like, if I was like, oh, crap, like, we're really going to get there by the end of the hour. You know, that segue actually worked.
We are almost radio professionals.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Yeah, kind of close.
So, but, oh.
Hey, hour number two is for subscribers only. So you deadbeats, is this is where we part ways. But for those of you glorious human beings who give us money on a monthly basis, as little as a few bucks, please join us in the next hour. If you want to hear the next hour, go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R, help me out.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com/unattended baggage.
We'll see you on the other side.